You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This is Stuck.
To be more specific, the Stuck at Home edition.
I'm Rochelle Pereira from Equilibrium, the book.
And I'm Damian Bazzadonna from Situation, the gut.
So before we head into our fourth season, we decided to do a special series of Stuck episodes, as many of us, including ourselves, are having to work in a totally different way and have a whole new set of challenges.
The rules for this episode are just a little bit different. Katie, Peter, and Steph will still read the questions up front, but rather than being from a specific individual, these topics have been crowdsourced from many of our listeners in the hopes that we can address what a lot of you we know are feeling right now.
Thank you all for tuning in, and we look forward to helping you get unstuck.
One of the questions we've been talking about a lot is how to be helpful. And I think we'd all like to be seen as being helpers during time of uncertainty. If you're already prone to kind of being a fixer in your day-to-day work, it's kind of in your DNA to try and solve problems, but it could be really easy to overheat at this moment in time. Given that everything we're hearing right now is suggesting that this is going to be a marathon and not a sprint, what advice do you have for people who are stuck trying to balance being superhumanly helpful to other people while managing their own self-care?
Well, I mean, Damian, I would say that you're one of the most helpful people I know, so I would imagine that this is probably very relevant to you.
Once again, you are correct, Rochelle.
Oh, you know.
Oh, boy. I think this is a great question. I think it's a great question. I have a whole range of thoughts on it, but I feel like I'm going to hog the entire podcast by just rambling on a whole bunch of points. I'd love to flip it around and just ask you what you think first, just knowing sometimes I can't control myself once I get on a roll.
Well, first and foremost, I think it's how do we frame helpfulness? Because I think in the way that the question's been asked, it's almost like it's at the detriment to ourselves. And I actually think in times of crisis, helpfulness is a good thing. It's a focus outside of yourself. It provides you oftentimes a sense of importance or usefulness. It gives you purpose. So I think if we can also just rewire the idea of helpfulness, it helps us think of ourselves as less as martyrs and more as a coping mechanism to actually continue feeling like we're contributing in a really positive way. Now, we don't want it to be to the detriment of ourselves, but I see it as a really powerful tool, particularly if you can step back and then also practice things like gratitude or mindfulness, or like, can you be present in the moment to see what it is that you have that you even can help, and how that's actually a privilege mm-hmm. in many ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes, I also feel like it's like on the plane, make sure you have like your own oxygen mask on first, kind of what you're talking. Like, I think people need to first make sure that they themselves are okay. Because I know enough people in my life that they don't have their own oxygen mask on and they're trying to help other people. It's like, no, get yourself in order first, whether that's a savings plan, whether that's your personal health, whatever that is, feeling confident that you feel like you've got yourself for the most part in working order and in an okay place. So I feel like when that's very fragile and people are coming to you asking for help, then I feel like that's where that tension is probably at its strongest. But sometimes I feel like people need to be working on, they sometimes help others as a way to avoid working on some of the stuff that they need to work on themselves. Mm. At least I could say that in my own, I feel like I know a few people in my own life that kind of operate in that fashion. They're loving people and I think they'd go to the end for me, but there's a risk in that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think certainly if it is a way of people not prioritizing themselves, if it's easier to prioritize other people over themselves, I think that becomes really problematic. You know, we're only good for others if we're good to ourselves first. And I, you know, the lens that I think about self-care, and there's a bunch of different really smart people out there that talk about resiliency and different sort of things to take care of yourself. The really simple lens that I look at it is physical, mental, social, and spiritual, you know? And so what are we doing to take care of our bodies right now? What can we do to take care of our bodies? What are the things that we can keep ourselves mentally stimulated? What are the things that we're doing that create relatedness, connection, emotional connection with other people? And then in what way can we have a spiritual connection? And that doesn't mean religion per se, but that's like, I actually think it's kind, you actually said this to me on a different conversation you and I were having, but how it's super crazy that we're all experiencing this pause at the same time. There's actually something kind of spiritual about that. Mm-hmm. And it's meta, you know? And I think if you can kind of resonate on that a little bit, I think there's something kind of incredible about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, and I've been reminded of this in my own life many a times, but sometimes, you know, listening is often just as important to thinking you're fixing someone's problems. And again, I think this goes to a place that when people are trying to help other people, sometimes people aren't asking to be helped as much as they're simply asking for you to hear their problem. And again, there's someone's ability to act or not act on that is really amongst kind of something within themselves, right? And again, I feel like some people go over to say, I want to help you because you've told me there's a problem, but the person clearly might not be asking for it. And the other thing I would just sort of say is like, or if you're willing to help somebody else, you have to be willing to also accept your own vulnerabilities and receive help. And this is very close to me. People in my own life, where it's like they're always giving, giving, giving. And when they clearly have an issue that they need help with, it's like, well, let me help you. They're like, no. And so if you're not, to me, there's a selfishness to not accepting some level of vulnerability, because it's not healthy. It's a completely unhealthy state. So, you know, I kind of look at that and it's almost too close to home. This question.
I mean, it's close to home for me too. I'm looking at you, Katie Byrne. But you know, this is why I think the framing of the helpfulness is important, because the only way you can convince a helpful person to take help is if they can appreciate that it is helpful to the other person to give them help. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they have to see themselves as the cycle to receive is to benefit the other person who's giving. I mean, oh my gosh, I am really meta today. But but you know what I mean? Like you have to change the framing of it for those people to also be able to receive. I don't understand that because I'm not that kind of person, but I know other people.
But the world, everyone needs help. Everyone needs help right now, right? In some version, we're all under the same boat together. So I think the idea, what's really just nice about the question is just really the idea of saying, I want to help. That's just a great kind of starting point where that tension exists. And that's a good thing about, you know, score one for humanity, you know, like that's like a really good thing. But I think in terms of just creating the guardrail, I think the guardrails are set. Like, I think, I don't know, it's stating the obvious. It's a very personal thing, what your own guardrails are. But I often say, look within first, because I do a very gut angle is like a lot of people who are the most giving outward are just not accepting to be vulnerable internally to accept help. And there's a selfishness to that. It drives me crazy when I try to do something nice for somebody and they're like, no. I'll walk 78 miles. No, but I can drive you. It'll take me an hour. It'll take you 16 days to walk. No, I got it. And it's maddening.
If I pivot slightly from that though, and I think about really practical things that people can do around self-care, is I think this is a moment where we're all having to reestablish boundaries. So even in the sense of caring for others, you know, caring for my children or caring for my spouse or caring for friends or clients or whatever, it's like, when does that stop so that I can have a moment to recharge so that I can be helpful the next day? And I think with all of us living in our spaces and working in our spaces and everything's getting blurry, we really have to challenge ourselves to create some boundaries and communicate our needs more clearly to other people.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I would say, you know, think about, in terms of self-care, you know, think about what are the three things that you need in your own life. Again, internal reflection of like going back to the airline, the oxygen, the kind of the oxygen mask from airline reference. Like, what are the things, and being honest with yourself, that you need for yourself to be in a healthy place, and at least acknowledge what they are. And I say, I think inward facing is most important to be able to work on those things now, and the people closest to you, like start there. I think that's just is important, because you're not really helping. Yes, you're helping other people, but that pain is just going to come circling back. If that person is close to you and you're helping them, the pain you're feeling is ultimately going to impact them as well. So it's not the best cycle.
So okay, as we close, what are your three things? And then I'll share my three things. What are you going to be most focused on in terms of your own self-care? Top three.
That's a great question. I'd say that I don't know. I have so many feelings and emotions right now. So it's kind of hard being in this zone to say these would be the top three things. It's a great question. I'll answer it on the fly. I've never been asked that question. Like, what are the things that I need the most help? Like I'm most vulnerable against, or I need the most help. Patience. I need a little bit of patience of people with me to extend a level of trust and patience, because with uncertainty, time is important sometimes. So I'd say patience and trust, I'd say, are the two things that are like the currency that I need as much in my life as possible right now. That's off the cuff. How about you? Yeah. Let's do two. How about that?
Two. Structure and air. And wine. So that's my third sneaky third one. But if I can have all those three, I can do this. I can run the marathon.
Can you just talk about air really quickly?
Yeah, like space. Gotcha. Space, yeah. Actual air, you know. Yeah. But more like mental, physical. I need a little bit of space.
Yeah.
Somehow. Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Well, see, that was vulnerable. Come on.
We did it.
Well,
that's homework for all of our listeners. What are your top three things? We'll see you on the other side.
Right.
If you found this episode helpful, please rate it on Apple Podcasts or leave us a comment or share it with somebody else that you know is stuck. This helps us reach listeners who could benefit from these conversations. And if you'd like your own question answered, go to our website, stuckpod.com, to submit a question.
Stuck is created by Equilibrium and Situation. It is produced by the wonderful Katie Byrne, Peter Ujicic, and Stephanie Connors. Our theme music is Rockstar by Owen Mulcahy. Be well, be safe.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.